If you haven't guessed yet, then tonight's tonight's sermon is about commitment. So I want to talk about commitment tonight, and I want to start off by reading a little story about commitment that's from the Bible in the book of Acts. Acts 5, 27 through 32. It says, when they had brought them, they stood before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you have put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So they continued to preach the name of Jesus, even though they were threatened not to, or to not do that. Why? Because they were committed. A committed Christian is someone who entrusts their entire being to the Lord, regardless of the situation, or regardless of what will happen in the end, even if it means hardship or danger. A lack of commitment to Christianity, a lack of commitment to your beliefs, is a struggle that many people have to face. It's something that a lot of people deal with, especially today. You know, there's a lot of folks that will sacrifice a lot to get something that they desire, but then when it comes to doing something for God, they don't want to sacrifice anything. So that makes us weak. Lack of commitment means that our beliefs and our faiths are ended at the first sign of trouble. A lack of commitment is why people say that when they go to church, they're not getting anything out of it, and they just stop coming. You don't get anything out of it unless you're putting something into it. You got to fill up the gas tank to make the car go, right? And it's kind of like marriage. You can't reap the benefits of marriage unless you're willing to put in the time and the effort to have a good one. The same thing is true with our relationship with Jesus. So what is it that a committed Christian does? What are some of the examples? Well, a committed Christian has faith, and they trust God, and they depend on him no matter what kind of times lay ahead, whether they're good times or whether they're bad times. They overcome obstacles of adversity through their life. A Christian trusts God in whatever happens. It's what it says in Philippians 4:11 through 13. It says, Philippians 4:11 through 13 says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content. I learned to be happy in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, so with nothing. And I also know how to live in prosperity, so with something. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, a committed Christian is with God through the lean times and the good times. He never forgets what God means to him, never forgets his faith, remains vigilant. A committed Christian lives a sacrificial life. A committed Christian puts God first. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. A committed Christian lives for the mission of Christ rather than the mission of themselves. To think about what it truly means. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. So my desires are ended. What I want is no longer important. It says, but Christ lives in me. So that's the new life, the new creation. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I live by my faith. I live by trusting God that he's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Jesus died for me. And now I'm going to live my life for him. It's a very powerful verse. It's a good song too, yes. So, it's about being committed to God. A committed Christian is willing to give of themselves and give to others. Here's a couple of verses that we should think about. We think about what it is to be a committed Christian and to give to others. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So care about other people. Don't just care about yourself. That's what a committed Christian does. In Galatians 5:13, it says, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You know, a lot of people are worried about, well, where's my life going to go if I don't think about me all the time? I got to look out for me. Well, the key is, or the safety comes in being a committed Christian, is that God is looking out for you. That God is leading you down the path that is best for you, that you trust in him. And that you come to church and you and your fellow Christians all serve and love one another. You see, other people, when they're all helping each other and all loving each other and all putting each other first, then nobody goes without. Nobody goes, nobody has to worry because everybody else is worrying about them instead of themselves. It's a really awesome concept when you really think about the way a church is supposed to work, you know, that group encourages and lifts each other up and is there for each other. So a committed Christian is willing and able to serve their brothers and sisters in Christ before they serve their own personal interest. What else does a committed Christian do? Well, a committed Christian is a holy Christian. And what does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart or separated. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18, it says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have the righteous and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So a committed Christian, somebody that is committed to their faith and their belief, does not subject themselves to the desires of the flesh, whatever those may be. And they are different for all of us. They don't go to places where they're going to be tempted to do things that are wrong. And they don't hang out or join in activities that are offensive to God. A committed Christian seeks what is good and holy and upright. A committed Christian seeks entertainment that is wholesome and good and encouraging. A committed Christian seeks out company, the company of fellow Christians, and does not desire to partake in wickedness. A committed Christian practices holiness in a couple of different ways, by directing their thoughts and their minds towards God. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." So a committed Christian keeps their mind focused on the things above. They stay thinking about what God wants them to do with their life. They stay looking for the higher, greater purpose than themselves. So they think the way that God wants them to think. And they also act the way that God wants them to act. They practice holiness by their own actions. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is how God wants us to act. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And how can you really argue with that? If you think about that list, look at that list for a minute. Love. Does anybody have a problem with love? Joyfulness. Peace. Isn't that what people always want? Peace on earth. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Aren't those not beautiful things? Isn't that not how we should treat each other? Self-control. Those are all good things. That's what God wants for us. That's how God wants our lives to be. And how can you argue with that? And a committed Christian is committed to living out those things. So a committed Christian is also prepared, ready. A committed Christian wears the armor of God. It says, therefore, in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, it says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So it's to every day go out and wear the truth, live in righteousness, study the Bible, have faith and trust God. That's what he's saying to do. Now it's put in a really cool way with armor and stuff, you know. But that's essentially what he's saying. To have comfort in your salvation and to boldly proclaim the word of God. Being a committed Christian, you get the benefits of what it is to be a Christian or to live that life. We get fulfillment and we have God in our lives. You know, if we don't live for God, then we're not going to have God living with us. If you look at James 4, 7 through 8, it says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So you put God in your life, and God's going to be there. You don't, and he won't. You know, I mean, it's kind of straightforward. If you want the benefits of being a Christian and you want the benefits of having a life with God, you have to live with God. You have to let him in. You have to draw him in. Draw close to God, and he will draw near to you. You push him away, And that's the way it is with everybody that you meet, isn't it? If you meet a new person on the street and you tell them, you know, beat it, I don't like your face, then they're not going to hang out with you, right? But if you say, hey, you want to go hang out and have some pizza, you know, then they're going to want to hang out with you. So the same thing is true with God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what it means to be committed. That means always seeking him out, always seeking to do what God wants you to do, living for him rather than yourself, having a greater purpose, loving each other, encouraging each other, being a wonderful and warm Christian family. That's what it's all about. Commitment and fulfillment are equally tied together at the hip. You know, without one, you can't have the other. So I'd encourage us all to try to be more committed to our beliefs and our faith and be more committed to God. Draw near to him so that he will draw near to us. If you want to learn more about being a Christian, let us know and we can study with you. But for now, you should know that if you hear, believe, repent, and are baptized into Christ, you will receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus' name. If you have anything on your heart that you'd like to share, please feel free to do that as we stand and sing our closing song.